So the Kololo tribe of Zambia refers to it as smoke that thunders because of its towering spray and its booming sound. Recognized as one of the seven natural wonders of the world, Victoria Falls is an overwhelming and powerful beauty. I think in that last song, the background, I think it was this, the waterfall. But Victoria Falls, the waterfall, it forms a natural border between Zambia and Zimbabwe as it unleashes 17 billion cubic feet of water per minute into a gorge 300 feet below. And 1 year ago this week, I was on a mission trip in Zambia and I got to visit the falls and I took this video. It's hard to get that rainbow selfie just right. But the power coming off the waterfall it's immense. I mean, you can feel the water shaking the ground and moving the air, and you wanna hold your floaty real tight when you go over that edge. But thankfully, I took a picture of this sign that rests at the top of the falls. It says, "Do not go beyond this point." That's pretty solid advice. You know, fear is also a good motivator to not go beyond that point. And sometimes fear can be healthy. Sometimes fear can keep us out of trouble, right? Fear can keep us from getting in over our heads or too big for our britches. It's, you know, fear is what makes us stop and ask, "Well, how big a boy are you?" So sometimes fear is healthy, but it can also be irrational, right? It can be unfounded. It can even be based in a habit. So fear exists, but it doesn't have to rule us. But fear is very real, and that's why the Bible tells us over 300 times, "Do not be afraid." Here are some examples. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Don't be afraid, for I'm with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." Deuteronomy says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." Jesus told his followers, "I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is the gift the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid." And as we say together every Sunday, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." So if we believe that, if we believe God is on the throne, if we believe he is the ultimate authority and has the final word, if we believe that, it leaves us with a choice. That we have faith in that, we have faith in who God is, or we live in fear of what we can't control. Faith or fear. Because both exist, right? They are both real. So we have a choice to make every day, throughout the day, faith or fear. So we're going to spend these next 8 weeks together working on getting better at choosing faith. This is the first week in our series, Faith Over Fear. We're going to think through some of the most common fears that we have in life, and we're going to look at God's power over them so that we can get better at choosing faith. And we might have to break some habits or adjust some stinking thinking, but I believe in you, I like you, and I think we can do it. I think we can do it if we have God's power. So let's ask him. God, we invite you into our real lives, to the things that we fear. And you are not afraid of what that is or what that looks like, but you are intimate and you are in it. You're not disappointed in us. You're not disgusted. But God, you care. You cared enough to come here to face our worst fear, to conquer death, to give us life. And then you told us to live in your peace, to live an abundant, full life. And we want to do that, but we can only do it through your power. So we invite Holy Spirit, you to work, you to move, you to change our minds, change our thinking, and that above all else, it would point us to Jesus. So please use my words today in spite of me, and have your way. In Jesus' name, all the church said,
amen.
Amen. Okay, so if we're going to choose between faith and fear, we need to be clear on what those are. So let's look at them. Let's look at what faith is and what fear is. We'll start with faith. The Bible tells us that first, faith is what saves us. Right? It says it's by grace you've been saved through faith. And then the Holy Spirit goes to produce fruit in your life, one of which is faith, faithfulness. And then Hebrews tells us it is impossible to please God without faith. And ultimately, Hebrews 11:1 says faith, this is our definition of faith, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So faith means we believe something is true, and we live like we really believe that, right? We believe the house is strong, and we go in it and seek its shelter when the storm comes. Right, we believe this bridge is secure, and we walk across it. We believe the chicken is cooked, and we eat it. Right, we believe this is true, and we act if it's that way. So faith is trusting in God, trusting he is who he says he is, and he will do what he promises to do. Right, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he will provide for your needs. As we read before, his right arm is victorious and strong, and we believe he will use it to hold us up. Right? Faith is believing in God and his promises and living in that freedom. Faith frees us. Having faith in God means I believe he is who he says he is. He has the last word. His plan will stand. His plans are for my good, and I believe that, and I trust it. So I'm not responsible for the outcome, so I'm going to live in the freedom of who he is. So faith frees us. Fear, on the other hand, is defined as an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. Let me give you an example. Seeing this, seeing this can cause fear. So when Christy and I were newlyweds, we lived in San Antonio, and I left our home early one morning to go for a run, and I went on our front porch and saw that some neighbors had played a joke on us. They put this gigantic fake tarantula toy on our front porch. I love Christy. I care about her feelings. I didn't want her to see this and be afraid, so I bent down to pick up the toy as it crawled away. Oh. What I thought was a comically large toy tarantula was a freakishly large real tarantula. It was real, and I felt fear. The American Psychological Association notes that fear triggers a set of physiological changes that mobilize us towards action, whether that action is freezing or flying. Right? Fear is a natural response that enables our body to protect itself from danger or to get away from it, both of which can be healthy. Right? This is one reason why people enjoy watching horror films. It explains why some people like scary movies, right? We watch scary movies, we know the boogeyman is not real, but experiencing fear in a safe environment is thrilling. And then the departure of that fear is comforting. The danger is when that line between real fear and imagined fear gets blurred. Right, when we invent a boogeyman who pries control from our hands, and then we fearfully just imagine the worst case scenario. We feel like no matter what I do, the worst outcome is inevitable, so why even try? Right? Fear freezes. Fear says, why even try? The worst is going to happen. Fear freezes. So research has shown that babies do not show any signs of fear until about 8 months old. Their first fears are in response to like new events or unknown people, but they're less likely to show fear when they see a stranger when they're in their parents' lap. An eight-month-old knows that mama is the safe place. Right? The baby rests in mama's lap and knows that mama's got this. She trusts mom because of who she is. So that's where we find ourselves. We are aware of fear and we have a choice to make. We can sit comfortably in our father's lap and know that he's got this. Or we can fear what we can't control, faith or fear. Fear freezes and faith frees us. You are going to get so tired of hearing that over the next 8 weeks that it might stick with you. Imagine that. Fear freezes and faith frees us. They're both real. They both exist. And we have a choice to make every day, throughout the day, fear or faith. Fear freezes, faith frees us. And here's how that works. Faith in Jesus gives us eternal life. That means the last breath we take in this world is the first breath we inhale in God's presence in eternity. Followers of Jesus know that death has no power over us, and we live in that freedom. But fear still exists. Right? The doctor tells us the combination, my doctor's here, so the doctor tells me the combination of high blood pressure and high cholesterol can lead to lower life expectancy. And it causes me to be afraid. Right? That tick bite could cause Lyme disease, and it stirs fear. Close friends experience a tragedy, and I'm afraid for my family's future. You realize people are going to remember what you did more than you said, and that scares you. Those are real scenarios, and those are fears that I've just wrestled with just this week. Right? Those are real. Fears are real. The future is just out there. And it's easy to fear the worst. But here's why we don't have to. After Jesus died, he was put in a grave, and the tomb was sealed up. And I think it's safe to assume that his family and his followers were afraid. Right? Here he was. Here was their Savior. Here was the Messiah, the Deliverer. Here was their hope. And then he died. That's not how this was supposed to happen. And I think it's safe to assume they were afraid. But then death and the grave could not restrict his power, and Jesus walked out of the grave. He appeared to a lot of people. He told his followers what he tells us. I'm going to go prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come back and get you. And after he left to set up for that party, the Bible ends with this beautiful encouragement. Jesus appeared to John, who was one of his closest followers, and he gives us hope. Here's what John tells us. He says, when I saw him, he's talking about Jesus, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. But he laid his right hand on me and he said, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death in the grave. So this is written in the book of Revelation, which can be scary and intimidating. And yeah, at its heart, Revelation shows us that life is scary and intimidating when it's lived apart from Jesus. But when our faith is in him, we don't have to be ruled by that fear. And Jesus says, don't be afraid, because I'm the first and the last. He's the first to rise from the dead, and he's the last, final authority. He's the beginning and the end, which means that Jesus holds time. Before in Revelation, Jesus was described as the first to rise from the dead and the ruler of all the kings of the world. So being the first and the last, meaning the ultimate, means time is under his authority. He holds time. So sometimes we get afraid, we fear, because we don't see Jesus working in our timeline, but that does not mean he's not at work. Right? One day we will see all of his work emerge, like the germination of a tiny seed, eventually revealing a strong, life-giving plant. We don't need to fear the future because Jesus holds time. And Jesus made a point to tell John, I'm the living one. I died, but look, I'm alive forever and ever. He said this because he was acknowledging what John would later record in his gospel. He said, standing near the cross were Jesus' mother, and Jesus, just think about this, Jesus on the cross looking out, he saw his mom, and he saw the disciple he loved next to her. The disciple he loved, that's John referring to himself. So that means John was there at the cross. John, who Jesus appeared to in Revelation, was at the cross and watched the life pour out of Jesus. And then Jesus came to him and said, I died. You were there. You watched it. And man, I know that was hard for you. You watched me die. But look. He says, but look, I'm alive forever and ever. That means Jesus holds life. Right? He defeated death. He is its master. Now he holds life, and it's his to give to anyone who trusts him as Savior. Jesus holds life. Moon's over Miami. How's that for a transition? Have you ever had it, Moon's over Miami? It's a classic Denny's breakfast sandwich. So nothing like a good brekkie Sammy. Denny's was known for being open 24/7, 365 until Christmas Day 1988. They wanted to honor their staff and give them the day off, so they closed their doors for the first time. The problem arose when they tried to lock those doors. Since it was established as a 24-hour never-closing joint, they just didn't bother to put locks on over 700 of their locations. Even more interesting is that the ones that had locks, nobody could find the keys. Because locks are controlled by keys, and the holder of the keys is the holder of the power. And Jesus said, I hold the keys of death and the grave. Jesus holds the keys. He holds the keys of eternity. And there are legitimate fears in this life, like tarantulas, clowns, the phone call that bears bad news, receiving the dire diagnosis, somebody you love receiving the dire diagnosis. But Jesus holds this life, and he holds the keys of eternity. So we can sit securely in our Father's lap and know that he's got this. And Jesus holds time, he holds life, he holds the keys of eternity. So fear exists, but it does not have to rule us. Because of who Jesus is, because of what he's done, because of what he promises to do, we can choose faith in him. The one who holds time, who holds life, who holds the keys of eternity. And so over the next 8 weeks, we're going to talk through some common fears. And I just want to tell you up front, since Jesus holds time, we don't need to fear the past. Since he holds the keys of the grave, we don't need to fear death or the enemy or losing the control that we like to think we have. Our identity is in him, so we don't need to fear our weakness being exposed. Our life is in him, so we don't need to fear being insignificant. Our victory is him, so we don't need to fear failure. Those are some of the topics we're going to talk through in the next 8 weeks. And the good news is Jesus has already overcome all of them. He has overcome, so we can choose him. We can choose faith in him over fear of what we can't even control. So our tour of Victoria Falls crossed this bridge. It spans a valley between two cliffs, while clouds of water and jagged rocks fill that void. And I cross the bridge with my eyes ahead and my hands firmly gripping the rails. I am man enough or not man enough, I don't know either way, to tell you I was afraid. Was it a sensible fear? Maybe. But I just got across as quickly as I could. I didn't look around, and I missed out. Turns out waterfalls are not a loop, so at the end you turn around and come back. And I decided I wasn't going to be ruled by fear. I decided I was going to look up. I would lift my head. I would experience the power of God's creation. I would choose faith in this bridge that had proven itself reliable. And what we see today in Jesus appearing to John and showing him, saying, look, I'm alive. What we see is that Jesus has proven who he is. He has proven that he is alive forever and ever, that he holds time, that he holds life, and that he holds the keys of eternity. And so fear is real. It's a real thing. It exists. But it doesn't have to rule us, right? Because we can choose faith. Like the psalmist wrote, when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. I will choose faith. Because faith is a choice. And it is a choice we can make because of who Jesus is. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, I want to do something a little different for this series. I won't force you to do anything too weird. Just a little weird, maybe. No, you don't have to do this, but I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer. If you're willing, I just invite you to open your hands. You can put them on your lap, put them down, but just open them. Because it's a visual of, man, we cling so tightly, right? I'm a tense person. I just keep, I gotta keep a hold of it all, right? So it can't get away. But it is a good physical exercise to realize, God, I release this to you. I can't control it anyway. So it's just a good reminder just to open your hands. So just I invite you, if you want to, just open your hands and I'll pray for us. God, when we look at who you are, it is overwhelming. It's overwhelming to be next to a natural wonder like a waterfall. And that is just a speck of what you've created. And it reflects your beauty and your power, but it is just a small sample. God, you are mighty. You are the creator. You own life and you give life. You rule this world. You rule creation. You hold it together. And God, all power is yours, all authority is yours, but still, we cling so tightly. We try to keep such a firm grip. And often, it's on things that we love and people we love, and it's for good things, but it is not power that's ours. So we just open our hands to acknowledge that and to say, God, it is yours. I trust you. You are a good Father. You know us. You will protect us. You love us. For the parents in the room, God, we thank you that you love our kids more than we ever could. God, for those who have lost someone they love, God, we know that your care, your plan for them is so much greater than we can understand, and we receive the comfort that you give. God, I pray for those who are just trying to hold life together right now, who don't even know why they came here today, who maybe feel like it's a miracle they even made it. And God, maybe their hands just feel empty. I ask that you'd fill them. I'm sure there's somebody who walked in here today carrying regret and carrying embarrassment, just carrying the things they wish they could just leave. So I pray you'd help them to do that, to lay it down, to know that you got it. You'll take care of it. You will toss it into the ocean. You will throw it as far as the east is from the west. You will clean it through the blood of your Son. So God, help us to maybe just throughout each day this week, just do the simple practice of opening our hands, acknowledging you are in control, that we can trust you. That offer is to anyone. Anyone who trusts and believes will receive life and the peace and the freedom that comes in trusting Jesus. So God, we thank you that you are good, that you are faithful. We put our hope in you and ask you to help us choose faith in you over fear. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.